Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Thursday edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, your co-host, and we'll be joined by Dr. Debbie Green, so you can hear some soulful solutions to our challenges. And we want you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts as we hear from that very insightful Dr. Debbie Green. And if you'd like to join us on Facebook Live, simply go to Facebook and type in Soulful Solutions, and you can write in your comments and questions for Dr. Debbie Green. Today, we'll talk about the emotional guilt that you may feel after you have ended a relationship. If you have left someone, and you know it really was over, but maybe you felt guilty about it. And maybe you went back because you didn't think you should leave them, even though they were hurting you. We'll talk about that when we get back with Dr. Debbie Green. Stay with us.
Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self-care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Debbie Green, and you'll see us right here and see the beautiful smiling face of Dr. Debbie Green as we talk to you today about that guilty feeling when you have left a relationship that probably needed to end, but maybe you feel guilty about it, and maybe you go right back. Dr. Debbie?
Grand Rising. We are on Facebook and actually YouTube this morning.
Fantastic.
All right. Again, such a very interesting topic we have today, and it's actually something that is going on at this very moment. You know, one thing about life has all of these different choices and decisions, and you know, before we realize it, I mean, per day, we make 30 to 50,000 choices per day. And, you know, I often ask, you know, people, how many of those choices did you make for yourself?
Mm.
Just yourself. You know, in your 24-hour day of making 30 to 50,000 choices. Some of those choices are involuntary and some of those choices are voluntary.
Yeah.
But guess what? Every day, yes, you make just that many.
Yeah.
You know, the amazing thing about life is, you know, whatever you put yourself into, you have to live. You know what I'm saying? You live it virtually by what you, it goes on in your mind. You also live it externally. That means whatever's inside of you, you're going to literally cast out what's it inside. You're going to cast it out on the outside of you automatically. That's what we talk about, energy, auras, all of these things that people pick up from day to day, you know. So this topic right here, I want to really hone in and break this topic down, how to emotionally detach from a toxic relationship. Now, most times, understand, we don't know that relationship is toxic until something happens. It could have been toxic from the meet and greet. It could have been toxic from the honeymoon stage. It could have been toxic from the short term to the long term. But why don't we notice? And even if we do notice, why aren't we proactive? You know, why does it take the worst of the worst before we do something? What is it about the human nature that allows us to just stay in a dysfunctional, defective state, externally and internally? You know? And I mean, no one's perfect. There's no perfect anything. But the choice to either to be in bondage, the choice to be miserable, the choice to even give misery, it's up to that one person. So, again, some people feel, oh, I'll never have, hear that word called never, I'll never have a healthy relationship. So let me stay in this one here because I never had one. And it's a possibility you might have went through a lot of brokenness. Let me tell you something. If you went through ongoing failed relationships, it is not what's on the outside of you. It's what's on the inside of you. So, which means that you are literally attracting, you're attracting what's inside. It's, you know, we can blame, we can shift blame, we can point fingers all day long. We say, well, it wasn't my fault because they have verbally assaulted me. It wasn't my fault because they physically hurt me. No, I'm not saying it was your fault. I'm saying that were you proactive with your life choices? Were you compromising in areas that was unhealthy because of what you felt? This is all I have. Oh, let me stay with this. Oh, I care for him or her.
I see a lot of
that. Oh, they were good lovers. I'm just throwing it out there. You know?
I've seen two patterns with people staying in bad relationships. One, the person had money, or two, the sex was great. So I've seen people stay in relationships for one of those two reasons, even though other things might have been horrific. The person might have been verbally abusive, maybe even physically abusive. The person may have shown them such disrespect and disregard, but they will stay and justify taking bad treatment for either of those two reasons. I had an associate who stayed in a very abusive relationship. She would leave and come back and leave and come back and leave and come back. And her reasoning was, I saw my parents get divorced and I saw how my mother struggled and I don't want to go through life without a man. And, you know, well, you know, he does provide for me. He buys me things. But he hits you, and he verbally abuses you, and he's kicked you out of the house in front of your children, and, you know, I mean, he's humiliated you, but you keep going back. And I think when people don't have an image of what a healthy relationship looks like, they will hold on to an unhealthy one, believing that an unhealthy one is better than none at all, and they don't really have a vision of what a good relationship should feel like. So they take the bad feelings and they justify it by whatever good they're getting out of it, they take it. And I had another associate. She was working herself, you know, working two jobs, working to take care of the children, had a husband that wouldn't lift a finger, hung out with his friends, even had other women. But their intimate life was great, and so she stayed with him for that, even though he basically, I mean, he was like he was an absent father because he was not emotionally supportive of the children. He hung out like he was still a single man. And she stayed in that relationship and did all the work, worked outside the home, came in, did all the housework. And she complained, but still stayed, left him once, came back. Same thing, you know. People choose to suffer through a bad relationship rather than let it go. And another one, she grew up without her father as well. Same thing. No image of what a good man looks like. All she knows is her father was not in her life. And she didn't want to live a life where a man was not in her life.
One will compromise in pain. Pain becomes very familiar. It's like every day, like brushing your teeth and, you know, eating. You know, I once had a client tell me, if I wasn't in pain, I didn't feel alive.
Mm.
So, you know, the perceptions of discomfort is different from every person's point of view, you know. And the thing about this is we're specifically talking about painful relationships. This is not something that is, you know, like a pain where you can take a Tylenol, you know, saying and say, okay, let me get rid of it. No, it you have literally adapted your being to the situation. That's the reason why you get the yo-yo effect. I want to leave, but I want to stay. You are adapted and enmeshed in your heart, because that's where it is. The mind and the heart is trying to make a decision on doing one or two things, but you have the spirit door that is locked between those two things. So in a dysfunctional, defective relationship, there is a lot of fear. And fear. Literally, we get comfortable with even that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, out of the positive and the negative thoughts that we have per day, we have 80% negative and 20% positive.
Mm.
That's how many thoughts that flow into our mind. And if we, and you know, you have to choose and filter which one of those you're going to live by. You know what I'm saying? Because in a relationship, if the majority of it is negative, it is negative.
Mm.
If you got maybe 20 or 15 or 10% positive and you're trying to hold on to that 10 or 20% to keep you going, no. All the bells and whistles are letting you know, leave, exit. Majority of people, that's the reason why we have an epidemic of domestic violence. The highest it's ever been since 2020. It's extremely, it's an issue. Murdercide is the issue.
So people are choosing to stay in bad relationships out of fear of what it will be like if they are alone.
That's just one factor, Naima. They stay in it because of children. They stay in it because of financial obligation. They stay in it because they, I've heard so many excuses, if I leave, I'm going to get hurt. So I'm going, you know. They stay out of fear is in so many different factors into that.
Mm.
And they compromise with it because they think that, oh, I have time. This is the problem. I have time. I'm dealing with this. Everybody else, the loved ones, friends, everyone can see that this is a functional relationship. But then in this person's mind, oh, no, they're not always like that. I think I'm supposed to be here to save them, because if I wasn't here, you know, that person will make up every excuse, explanation in the world without saying, you are absolutely correct and I need to leave. Now, you have some of them that say, yes, I need to leave, but I don't know how. I don't have anywhere to go.
How does that happen, where people throughout their lives have not made friends, have disconnected relations from family, have not talked to people that they can trust? How does it happen that people are in a situation that they need to leave, but they don't have anywhere to go? How does that happen? Are they isolated over time? Because a lot of times abusive relationships start out when first the person isolates you from your family. You know, they set up some kind of conflict, so you stop talking to your family. They set up a conflict, you stop talking to your friends. So now it's just you and them. And because you've cut off relations, now when things get bad, you don't have anywhere to go. So how is it that people have nowhere to go? Does that happen over time?
Yes, and sometimes it happens immediately, depending on what type of relationship it is. Because if addiction is in that relationship, a lot of them have burnt their bridges.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying? So, again, the factors play really heavy in dysfunctional relationships, because majority of people you have, people who have addictions, you know, are substance alcoholism or, you know, crack cocaine or whatever they're addicted to, and they stay in that relationship with that addicted person. They know that person has an addiction. Now, they may or may not have one, or, you know, and, you know, they're like, okay, I care for this person, so I'm going to try to wait it out. And other, you know, family members or friends see that this is a dysfunctional relationship. So, you know, they're like, well, when are you going to, you know, leave?
Yeah, they're not going to change. What are you waiting for? Just
right, when are you going to leave? So when they don't leave, Naima, when they don't leave, then the family themselves get to a point where, you know what, you're just going to stay in that relationship. I'm just going to leave it alone. I'm going to leave y'all alone because I don't want to be bothered with that. And don't call me when something goes wrong.
Because I told you should have left a long time ago.
Right. So that means the door is going to get closed at that point. And then when something does go wrong, they try to reach out to that family member, friend, or whatever, and don't get any feedback. There you go. So that door is closed. So a lot of times that's what happens. Or, you know, again, if they have an addiction themselves, you know, if they may have done something to them prior to even being in a dysfunctional relationship with another person. And like I said, so many different factors of, you know, relationships that are defective and dysfunctional. But I wanted to focus on several areas. You know, the obsessive, the guilt and shame and remorse, you know, while being emotionally attached. When you asked me a question just a few minutes ago, why do people leave and then go back? Because they're dealing with guilt, shame, and remorse.
Mm.
So they come back. They come back to that relationship.
What
and they hear that person, oh, now I'll never do it again. Everything is all right. I love you, blah, blah, blah. They get manipulated back into that relationship for the umpteenth time. But this time, this person goes from just screaming at you to putting their hands on you. Now you're really in a pickle. You're trying to get out of it. You're literally trying to get out of the relationship, and that person won't let you.
Ooh, you can't leave.
Right. Because they're focused. You leave me, I'm going to hurt you, kill you, whatever the case may be. And then you like, oh no, you just talking. You're not, you know, you ain't hurt me. You go back and forth, but then you find yourself on a tabloid in the news thing. Murder side, I want to really put it out there. Murder and suicide is in a dysfunctional relationship. You got several things that's going on, okay? You have mental illness, criminality, homicide, and suicide all in one package. Now, This is it. How can one not see that?
They don't know how to see it, because either they don't have a contrasting image of what a healthy, functional relationship looks like, or maybe that has been their experience. If they grew up in a household where there was constant violence, threats, beatings, then for them that is normal behavior for a couple. And so when it happens to them, they figure that's what happens in everybody's relationship. This is what it is. You know, you get through the period of violence, the arguments, the verbal abuse, the physical abuse, and you forgive and go on, or you just walk on eggshells until the next episode. But this is how it is. I've had associates that believe, you know, once you take those vows in the church to stay married, that you stay there no matter how bad it is, and that it's spiritually wrong to leave your spouse. And so they stay even in assault, rape, beatings, threats. They stay because they believe, well, this is what God wants me to do. I vowed to stay in this marriage, and so, okay, that person, even though they're even unfaithful, they have relationships, but, you know, I must stay because I'm obeying God. That's what they believe, and so
yep,
they stay.
Well, that's just one, that's another factor. There's many factors that actually are, again, emotional attachment, okay? When you are emotionally attached to a dysfunctional relationship, you feel responsible for that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You feel an obligation for that relationship. You feel like you maybe even be doing something wrong while you're being mistreated in that relationship. And it goes on and on and on. And it's like before you realize you have all that it's time that you have put into this relationship, and it's not getting any better. It went from just somebody ridiculing you, reprimanding you, putting you down, not taking you seriously, to obsession. Okay, now I'm obsessed with you. I'm obsessed with you. I don't want you to wear certain clothing. I don't want you to talk to certain people. Okay, these are the signs, people. These are early warning signs. Early, Dr. Deb is giving you early warning signs. When someone is trying to change you, and if you especially have a low self-esteem, no identity whatsoever to know who you are before getting into a relationship, you are then pliable. I'm talking about pliable like clay in their hands.
And you don't see it.
That's the reason why you don't see it, because you have consciously awareness of who you are.
Mm.
Who you are. Not who you are to another person, who you are to yourself. Okay, so people get into these relationships, men and women. I'm not just talking about women being abused. I'm talking about men because men can be abused too.
Mm-hmm.
They get in these relationships because they don't have an identity. They lost that identity. No one told them who they were years ago, even when they were young children, as well as helping them to identify the self, right? Okay, fast forward. You get in relationships before you realize you're doing exactly what a person tells you to do. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. Without even thinking. You just automatically react. That's why you got to have a proactive mind. Proactive mind says, okay, what should I do for myself before I even do for another human being? No, it's not called selfish. It's selfness.
Mm.
The ability to give yourself permission to live independently on this earth, because you can't walk in their shoes. Their heart don't beat for you. You can't look through their eyes. So that means you are an independent vessel walking the earth. What happens when you try to live through somebody else and live for what they want? If you run into a deceptive person, an emotional manipulator, a narcissist, you are putty in their hands.
Wow, I've got a
bondage.
Mm.
I'm so serious.
Oh yeah, well, I've got an associate that I would say is probably in that situation. We got a caller, but I know we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll go to 706-202. And you're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And this is Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. So if you want to...
You too, call in.
Call in, 515-605-9325. And if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook Live, you can write in your comments. We'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Look at social media, however you get your news, you will see it. someone has killed someone, and far as a woman and children, and then if you don't just see just the homicide, you'll see murdercide. Mm. Murdercide is just what it is, okay? That means they killed the children, the wife, and then took their life, and vice versa. You see sometimes the mothers will kill the children or the fathers will kill the children. The children are always the target out of all of this mess that adults are going through. And, you know, Dr. Devin is real passionate about this, y'all. I'm going to tell you right now. So if you hear me saying I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, that's the way I feel about it. Mm. I was telling my wonderful co-assist a couple of months ago, I said, that's it.
Yeah.
We have to ring this bell.
Yeah.
If I'm the only person that's doing it, that's fine with me. I don't care. I'm not depending on the state, the city, the government, because no one is doing anything. The church, nobody's doing nothing. We do is see the children suffer, and it really is not fair to children.
Right.
And get caught up into adult things.
Yeah. And children really... I mean, people don't know what to do, which is probably why they do nothing, and they just say, oh, what a shame. But I can see where the foundation of this kind of thing happens. Like you were saying, it's how you feel about yourself. I've got an associate who married, probably according to his mind, out of his league. This woman, you know, beautiful and, you know, all that intelligent and so forth, successful. And, you know, he's, I guess, rather plain looking. Many don't see him as attractive. But early on, he was very, very jealous, very possessive, very controlling. She stayed with him because, you know, what did he have? He had money, you know, he had a position. But physically, and I don't think he felt good about himself. And, you know, he was always bragging about how much money he made, how much money he made. It's almost as if, you know, I can buy this woman because even though I look this way and other, and he talked about how other women had rejected him when he was younger and before he got successful and all that. But the feeling that I get is that this is someone who doesn't really feel worthy of the woman that he has and is always afraid somebody's going to take her from him. And I think one time they got into an argument and she threatened to leave. And he did say, no, you ain't getting out of this relationship alive. You know, he said it in a moment of anger, but he said it, and she stayed and stays and obeys, even though there's, like, you know, threats to leave, but they stay in their dysfunction. And, you know, for him, it's like, this is, she's mine. And I could see signs of, you know, if I can't have her, no one will.
So again, she adapted to that.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, excused it because of the money factor, but still, if someone makes you feel like you can't leave and live, that's kind of horrifying. But if you choose that, that is a choice. My thought was, how did she end up in that situation? You know, I see where maybe his low self-esteem happened over time, you know, ridiculed as a child. He talked about how he used to be heavy, you know, very fat, and he was called bad names and everything. So he since lost the weight, but I think in his mind he still sees himself as very unattractive, but feels like the money compensates for that. So I can see maybe where his low self-esteem comes from. I'm wondering, where does hers come from?
It comes from somewhere
it
in her life. Again, people compromise. They compromise on getting what they want and thinking that they, you know, that this is okay to compromise in a dysfunctional relationship. Can we take that call, please?
Yeah. So area code 706-202. Your mic is open. Grand Rising, thank you for joining us on Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green.
Grand Rising, Dr. Debbie Green, and assalamu alaikum to you, Sister Naima Batiste. This is Kwame Sunhorse, and I'm speaking from stolen land of the Muscogee Creek in Edenton, Georgia.
Yes, sir.
Excellent topic. And it's really, you know, I commend you, Dr. Green, in being able to use your tools and your skills to what we need is how do we fix what's broken? There's a lot of broken people out here. And the part of mental health is something that we have just recently, since maybe the 70s, it really became out there because we didn't identify with mental illness. We were in it. We lived it. We were raised in it. Because if Bobby E. Wright, right there in Chicago, the psychopathic racial personality, he coined the phrase menticide. You have Frances Cress Wilson, who wrote the Cress Theory's Color Confrontation, and her being able to identify those things with using some of Neely Fuller's writings. But even Carl Bell, and he identified the alcohol fetal syndrome. All of these are people that stepped in and said, there's more to this thing called ghetto minds. It's how these minds are being programmed. Because you go back another two generations, we were just coming out of captivity. And so that was one of the worst of the genocide, psychic trauma, what you wrote, Naima. These are ways in which we have been programmed and put into this mental illness. So now we are aware of it. We see the symptoms. We've got the people, ABSI, the black psychologists that have come in it. I forget the sister that started the BB. She started the African American Psychology Month. We've now become aware that there is a problem because we're kind of, like you're saying, you're seeing it in suicide murder cases that are coming. Once upon a time, when we looked at certain situations on the news, we knew it wasn't going to be us because we didn't have those tendencies to do these type of things. But what has happened as we have gotten what we call we've gained more, but we've lost less because the poor things that have been lost is values, morals, respect, and ethics. And so these tools used to be one of the things that was great about our people. Now they're less. So anyway, but I'll listen to what you have to respond to it.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. There's so many dynamics of dysfunctional history that we experience. And, of course, our descendants from those issues, from those people, you know, it's energy. Energy transforms. It transforms. And when we always look for what happened, how this happened, everything has a cause and effect. Everything. You see, I mean, if you look deep enough underneath the issues of life, you will see it. You will see it. And, you know, out of the heart, the issues of life flow. So most of these things are dealing with our emotional attachment to a trauma, like you said, our emotional attachment to our generational, you know, enmeshment. You know, a lot of things, and it affects us. It affects us in so many different ways. We then latch on to so many different characteristics. You know, epigenetics is real. It's real. You know, and, you know, we transform and transition. However, the thing about this is, what is the difference between a person that has experienced that trauma and does something about it within themselves and say, you know, self, you're not going to continue to live this trauma, to destroy your relationship, to destroy your mind. You know, you're going to battle this fear. You're going to face this fear. you're going to conquer it, and you're going to move on and move forward versus another individual that keeps that cycle going. You see what I'm saying?
So it's
the mindset and the influencers of what that person is around. And if the major thing is choice. They have to choose. They have to choose. Let me express something to you really quick. And this is still dealing with emotional attachment to relationships. And we're not just talking about heterosexual relationships. We're also talking about family relationships that have been dysfunctional as well. I have a client that at birth, she was left in the hospital by her mother and did not want to go and pick her up, right? Father was absent. And when mother did come back to pick up, she said she didn't love her. She said she grew up with a mom that did not love her.
Didn't even
at all.
That's painful.
And she said she knew she wasn't being loved, even as a young child.
Wow.
She understood. When she did get to herself, you know, it was like, well, can I leave? She said when she became a younger teenager, she tried to run away. She was experiencing depression and anxiety as early as 8 years old, didn't know what it was. She was going through so many different changes. Now, since that time growing up, she's been in dysfunctional relationships because of the brokenness, like you said. The brokenness, because she was impacted by life circumstances, not even her own. She was impacted by that. So now, you know, being in her late 50s,
wow.
She's still battling depression.
Wow.
Still battling anxiety. Still battling it. So, you know, we're going through the whole, I call it go through the stories of life to find out exactly when it started. Okay, I found it. So now what I have to do is build her up immensely inside so that she can say, you know, I am not my past, but I am my future, and I'm doing something now about it. Because, again, the whole body keeps score of the trauma.
Mm.
Your mind, your physical body, your every neuron, every cell in your body remembers the pain automatically, and it keeps reminding you of it.
Mm.
You can get triggered through your senses, by sight, by hearing, by touch, by taste. You know, and it reminds you, the subconscious mind brings it to the conscious mind. Here it is. This is what you've been experiencing. And it's like you can't get away from yourself. You know, so what happens in a relationship when you see another failed relationship and it's not your fault? It's not your fault, but at the same token, one has to learn how to live again. Proactive. That means I got to prepare. I got to prepare for the worst. I got to prepare for the best. For me.
Mm.
Just for me. I can't prepare for the next person. I got to prepare for myself. So when I do that, that means they're going to keep me on what they call mental alertness.
Mm.
Mental alertness is mental self-awareness. So I will notice when I'm putting myself, or if something is coming to me that's disturbing my peace, I can't blame it on what I see or what I hear. I can only know how to respond to this thing. No, I don't want that. And I mean it. So I draw the line in the sand and I'm exiting. I don't want it. I don't need it. I don't desire it. And I'm not going to be a part of it. But if you compromise, that's your biggest mistake.
So what happens to a person whose very foundation was the absence of love, say with this young lady here, and I've known others that grew up knowing that the parents who raised them did not want them. You know, one parent was absent. In one case, a friend who was raised by a mother who had, you know, some mild level of mental illness, but it wasn't enough to be institutionalized, just enough for her to be abusive. and the father was absent. That it was one of those relationships. There wasn't a relationship. She, you know, mother got pregnant. The father didn't want the mother to have the child. The mother didn't have a way to get out of having a child. So it's like, I didn't want you, but I couldn't abort you. You know, it was kind of like being raised with that knowledge and being in an unloving environment and having extended family, you know, the mother's siblings that didn't help or encourage. So there's the isolation of being raised in a family where you're constantly reminded that you're not wanted. So there's never an experience of having been loved. So you don't know what love is because you didn't get it at the very root of your upbringing.
Right.
And, of course, now, you know, as an adult woman, this is someone who struggles with bad relationships, you know, over and over. Just no memory of what it feels like to be loved. So if no one that raised you loved you and you have never learned to love yourself, you know, told by your mother you're ugly, you're stupid, I didn't want you, the only reason why you're here is because I couldn't abort you, your father didn't want you, you know, where do you find the love in yourself if it's never been given to you? How do you develop something you don't even know what it feels like to be loved and valued by others?
The number one survival of life, the number one, you cannot be a victim. When you are a victim and you are continually living a victimized life, it's going to change your mental capabilities to deal with life. Because every time you're going to be a victim to everything, not just in failed relationships, you're going to be a victim if somebody stares at you too hard. You're going to be a victim if you went into a store and the cash register cheated you. You will be a victim to everything because the mentality of a person that is a victim often thinks this: why is everything happening to me? Mm-hmm. Why can I ever be happy? Why are they doing this to me? Mm-hmm. And then they start doing it to themselves. Then they become self-victimized. And then that self-victimization goes into self-defeat, self-sabotage, leading to self-destruction. But if you remove the victim mentality completely, which means that I have to stand up for this being, not just for myself, but this being, my mind, my heart, my body, my soul belongs to me. I cannot allow myself to think constantly that I'm not strong enough to deal with life. I cannot put myself in that position, because if I do, then I am going to be manipulated, I'm going to be deceived, and I'm going to constantly feel pain from every direction. So, you know, I'm so sorry, that's not an option for people out there. If you feel like you're a victim, you have to ask yourself, how long? Because if you've been victimized for years, and you say, well, somebody victimized me, I don't feel like I'm being victimized. Okay, so it happened. It happened. But the question is, what are you going to do for your life? Not based upon what someone else is doing. Because if you are still under fear, you are victim mindset driven.
So where does that person reach to feel a sense of worthiness when it was not given to them by their parents or their home environment, and they grew up feeling unworthy, you know, unloved, you know? I mean, of course, you know, you make friends, you got positive teachers and, you know, people in your life, but if at your foundation you don't have that sense of well-being or appreciation, then even when good things happen, you don't feel good. You know, this particular woman who grew up knowing she was unwanted. Her most painful memory, I think she won some kind of school award for academic achievement, and it was at assembly, and everybody else, you know, parents showed up. No one, you know, her mother was not there. She had no father around, no relatives. No one acknowledged her, so she was, I mean, she recalls that moment of no one loves me, even though the teacher was very praising, oh, you did wonderful, but her family was not, there was no one there, and she remembers that with a lot of pain and doesn't have a way to reframe that, such as, oh, I did this wonderful thing, and, you know, my classmates saw it, my teachers saw it. Her memory of my mother didn't even love me enough to see when I won this award. She didn't even come, and she wasn't doing anything. She could have come, you know, it wasn't during, it was in the evening, you know, assembly. She was at, it was after work. She could have come. She chose not to.
Okay.
She didn't care. I mean, it was just the whole, her memory of it is pain. So when you have a life like that, and you don't know what love feels like, you don't know what appreciation feels like, and you get in a relationship with people, and I've seen her relationships with men that just kind of treat her bad, and she stays for a while until they leave her. She doesn't leave them, you
know.
Well,
these are cyclings. Okay, I want to mention one of our Facebook viewers, Lenora Bailey, said, we spend our whole life searching for love. It's hard when you grow up and there's no love in the home. When you find love, sometimes you mess it with, because you have to know love in order to give love.
Maybe you mess it up because you don't know. Yeah, and that's what I would think. You know, if you've never been loved, you don't know how to share a loving relationship, because, you know, part of the time you're always waiting for the person to leave you or mistreat you, because that's what you have been accustomed to.
Right, right. And she also said, she also wrote, that's hurtful coming up and no one appreciates what you are accomplishing in life. You know, one thing about validation, I want, because this is what you, both of you are talking about. You're talking about validation. Now, when a child grows up, if it's not being validated, if it's not saying, well, did you, you know, you did a good job, even though it might have not been perfect, oh, that was so good. That was good that you made that C. That was good that you made that A. That was good that you cleaned up your room. Oh, you did such a good job. Okay. No one noticed. No one said. And if they did say something, they didn't say anything good.
Mm.
Okay? All right, so fast forward in your life, you look for validation.
Yes.
But you did not receive validation when you were a child.
Yes.
So now you look for it. You look for it on your job. You look for it in your friends. You look for it even in family members that was there.
Mm.
You know, guess what? Can I tell you the truth? You may or may not get it.
So
which means that if you are living your life because you're waiting for someone to tell you that you're doing well, you'll be waiting.
Mm.
You won't be waiting. Just as you was waiting for it as a child, you will continue to wait for it as an adult. Now, again, no more victim mentality.
Mm.
A victim always feels it lacks something. It doesn't matter what it is. I lack to be accepted. I lack love. I lack to be honored. I want to be noticed. You know? And it's not that you want the attention. You lack it. Because it's not there. There's a void that has not been fulfilled. And you know why it has not been fulfilled? Because you haven't fulfilled it.
Mm. It's got to come from you.
It's not going to come from the outside of you. God created us in a perspective to give us what we need, but the question is, we don't want to go deep into the reservoir.
Mm. God's
the we want to reach out for things. It's like when we were children. When we were children, we were always reaching for mommy. Then when we started crawling, we were reaching for toys. Then when we started walking, we were reaching, always reaching. But when you stop reaching and you allow yourself to be that fulfiller, you be your own seat filler. You be your own shot caller. You sit on your king throne or your queen throne and you say to yourself, guess what? This is enough. I am enough for me. This is when the whole universe gonna hear you. You will send out an energy that is so horrific, so huge, so magnetized to the point where all of this negative energy that was coming to you in your life as you were growing up will cease in that very minute. You say, wait a minute, Dr. Dev, how could you say that? I done seen it too many times.
You can change your own reality.
It's because the energy that's inside of you has been compacted. And over years and years and years of suppression, years and years and years of hopelessness. Because a person that's hopeless is a learned helplessness. I wanted to hope that my mother came to see me. I wanted to hope that my father acknowledged me. So you didn't get it. So now you learn, well, maybe I don't deserve it.
That's
maybe they don't love me.
I'm not worthy.
I'm not good enough. Oh, there you go. Feeling that victim mentality again. So what happens when you get into a relationship that's dysfunctional? Someone is going to notice that you are a victim.
And they will validate your feelings of unworthiness.
Oh, they're going to tell you how beautiful you are. They're going to put you on a pedestal, but not for what you think. It's not all the time. Now, sometimes we find some really good people, y'all. We find some beautiful mates that love us because they know we didn't, you know, God has sent us some of the most perfected human beings. But on the other hand,
and we can drive them away because we're waiting for them to hurt us.
Self-sabotage, yes.
We got to take a break and we got a couple of calls. But when we come back, we'll talk about that. Are you driving away your mate that could be the best thing for you, but you're waiting for them to hurt you, and so you treat them as if they already have? We'll be right back after this quick break. We want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. And if you want to give us a call, 515-605-9325, press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. And if you want to join us live on Facebook or YouTube, look for Soulful Solutions and look for the smiling face of Dr. Debbie Green and Naima Latif.
The beautiful Naima.
Oh, man. God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Everything you need What your body needs is found in nature, so Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
James, good conversation today. I was just going to chime in with how the trauma we especially Black folks, we experience trauma all the time. I mean, the world does it. You look at news. You ever see a good movie? You're in the bed and the movie goes off. They go, and then the news will come on and go, two people just got shot in a liquor store tonight after a good movie. That's trauma that has been embedded over and over and over again. And The way I deal with, you talk about validation. The things that I do and I've done, especially on online, now people are coming to me saying, you have really made a difference in the world. And I'm like, thank you. I really don't need that because God pressed me to do this. If you're doing something that God wants you to do, you really don't need anybody to validate it. You know, you're doing what God, you know, people are like, nothing can disturb you, James. You know, if people be like hating on you, I'm like, look, they're not hating on me. They're hating on God. You see? And so a lot of us, you know, we're going through this trauma because identity crises. We've been told lies. I keep on putting people's heads, we're not from Africa. This is your home in America. Honor your ancestors. I'm keeping it in. And now people are resonating what I'm saying. And like, James, you are so right. We've been circulating this lie all of our lives. Let me ask you this question before I take the next caller.
What about if in a person's own household, no matter how they identify themselves, even if they, you know, whether they're white, black, or something else, if in their household their parents have made them feel like they are unworthy, and then they get into a relationship with someone who also makes them feel unworthy, maybe somebody who doesn't appreciate their intelligence or doesn't appreciate their hard work and puts them down, how does a person develop within themselves a feeling of self-worth? If their self-worth is not based on, you know, whether their ancestors are from Africa or Europe or America or whatever, it's based on how they were treated in their family, and so they feel bad. What do they reach for in order to feel good about themselves?
That's a good question. I told my daughter, don't repeat what me and your mother have gone through. Don't repeat it. Sometimes you got to go and look at your grandparents. Sometimes you got to go and look at another generation to get some positive out of it, you know. But you got to honor your mother and father because they gave you life, you see. And whatever it is in at home that a lot of people are experiencing, they're just letting go of the trauma. I remember my father came home, and he had a fight with my mother, and she's like, you only doing this because you had a traumatic experience at work. Now you're taking it out on me. So, if you're a child, if you're dealing with parents that, you know, you have some situation with, you have to have a little mercy and understanding that something that they're dealing with is blocking the love that they can give to you. You know, mm-hmm. just my mama don't love me. No. Your mama had an experience, you know, some trauma, some experience. Just look at that, you see. And then you realize it comes back to self-love. They call me self-love on the Internet. It comes back to finding self-love.
Well, that's a very insightful comment. We certainly thank you for sharing that. You know, I think that's probably the first step that anybody has to do if they've been raised by a parent that was not loving, is try to empathize, try to have compassion, try to find out what happened to them, whether it's, you know, a trauma at work, a trauma in their own upbringing, you know, what happened to them that made them not love themselves, the reason why they don't have the love to give to you, and be able to forgive them for that because they can't help it. And I think that would be a big step in helping people to heal from the hurt of an unloving parent that kind of set things in motion.
Yeah.
Let's take the next call here, 312-671. Give us your name, introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience, and your comments regarding unloving relationships that become abusive that they need to end.
Well, and y'all, shalom. Ahura. We don't die, we multiply. Black is beautiful and black power forever. Yes, Brother Kuki, you are right on time, you know, because he got a spiritual mind and self-love, as you have also shared, Sister Naima Latif and Dr. Debbie Green, you know, this program, the Female Solution, is number one, first of all. This Brother Plunk from Chicago, Illinois. And we don't have to go back to the village. You see, the village was back in the day, really in the 30s, the 40s, for an example, where I even go back to the 20s. The 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, black people was in love with one another, and they was hooked up to the village. After the 90s, they became disconnected with God. They became disconnected with the family, and they most of all became disconnected to the village. So what we have to do is reunite, reorganize, and rejuvenize the family to the village. And today we are going to be at Lake Grove Village at 3515 South Cottage Grove. And from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., we're going to be sharing leadership development. We're going to share atonement, which is very important, like Yahshua, who most know as Jesus Christ, said, Father, I forgive them for they do. However, it's still going to be a part of the solution from the village, and we're going to go through the prosperity. So, brothers and sisters, for more information, keep up in touch with us, because it's all about unity in the community, unity in yourself, unity in most of all God. We are only in the community. It's all going to result to God's we are only. However, God has put in the individual the healing power that she can be a shero and he can be a hero. And we all can be and develop ourselves, because we have discovered the most important person it is living. And that is something that is needed to put black and black love together again. We're in it to win. And also,
Minister Plum, let me ask you this before I take the next caller. When do you know that a relationship that is unloving, perhaps hurtful, is something that should end or something you should forgive and try to stay in your opinion? When should you leave and when should you forgive and try to stay? How do you know?
Thank you for asking. Yes. Well, you see, a person know within themselves what is what and when and where and how this or that even started with them. And what you have to do is build a better relationship. The power is in forgiveness, you know, between you and that particular person, because it's like Dr. King used to say, too, it's the content of the character. So each person must become educated. That's another important part. And information is a key to success. See, this is what you all have demonstrated. With the Female Solution, information is a key to success. However, education is a part of the best. In other words, if you got a problem, you know you got a problem. We know we got problems in the black community. So you have to admit that we got problems. And part of the problem is mental, stress, and which mental stress can kill you, or it can kill yourself or others. So you have to relieve yourself of that stress by being involved with the village. And be a part of a circle that loves you, just like our drum circle. You know, we call the ancestors with the 63rd and the 64th Street Drummers, which is a spiritual relationship that you have to deal with yourself.
We appreciate that advice, that people need to reach out to those beyond their family, especially if they are in a painful situation. So we thank you so much for all
thank
that you
so
did.
Much.
And let's open the mic for 773-977 Grand Rising. Thank you so much for calling us today on Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments regarding letting go of painful relationships.
Well, good morning, beautiful ladies and handsome gentlemen. This is Lois in Chicago, Illinois. You know, we are all so blessed and we're really rich because this station, I'll tell you, and I agree, Brother Plunk, you're right. You're number one, Naima. It doesn't matter. All of the ladies and Dr.
Fantastic
Debbie. Listen, I think, Dr. Debbie, you're not going to step over, Naima, but I'm telling you, girl, you're all the way up there. We love you so much. Listen, I feel that, you know, the problems with staying together, especially when children are involved, and I can speak from self-experience. Now, you can go through an abusive marriage for the purpose of knowing that God gave you life from that person. And so the life was the connection between the male and the female that created the gift from God, which was the child. So after the child comes into the world, a mother will do whatever she can to keep that attachment for the sake of the baby, mentally, physically, educationally, financially. Yeah. And so she goes through some things perhaps just to see if it can work to help educate the child and not take it out on the child because they're not really happy with one another. You know, sometimes you can make deals with, you know, your husbands and still you wind up getting beaten or getting raped or what have you. So, you know, you have to come out of a situation only with God. And if you notice, people are always telling you what you can do or how you can do it. But back in the day, when I came along and went through misery with being married at 16, whatever, there were no provisions, no benefits, no help for anyone out there. Even the courts were not helping you. And they're still not doing too much to help you today. You know, people can go and file for a divorce, and next thing you know, they've killed one another. You know, and if they don't have a water protection or something like that, you're going to go to jail for a while. You know, so it's best to get away, but sometimes if you have children, it's hard. I believe it's really, really hard to just say, break that attachment from the father. The child goes to school, and when they want to talk about the father, sometimes they have to make up, oh, my father is a pilot, or my father is a police, well, and they never even knew their father. So that disattachment caused a problem automatically with the child. So we have to live from day to day because when that neighbor cord was cut, that meant that you were on your own. You're breathing on your own. You're thinking on your own based on the environment, you know, from birth. And you just have to just continue to pray and trust in God. And know we've made it thus far, and he's not going to leave us now. I love you all so much, and thank you for this time. This is Lois in Chicago.
Well, thank you so much,
thank
Lois.
You.
We
thank
appreciate
you for calling
you
in.
So much.
Thank you for calling in. Again, there are so many factors of why people stay in a dysfunctional relationship and why they don't.
And
you
I know a lot of people.
It's that there's not just one thing. So it depends on the person. It depends on the upbringing. It depends on the exposure. It depends. It depends.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, self-compassion is needed so that person can ask themselves, am I doing everything that I can do to better my life? And it's always a plan. It's always a solution. There's never, ever a situation that does not have a solution.
Absolutely.
If we're focused on the problem, if you're problem focused, you will never be solution orientated.
Mm.
You can't be. You have to, it's versus. And then, see, now we go back again to this victim mentality.
Right.
Because, I mean, we see the dynamics. We understand what is going on. We see all of these things that has, you know, appropriated, you know, why we can't do this or why we didn't do that or what we didn't have. Or all of these things are external circumstances.
Okay.
Absolutely. We've got another caller here. 312-768. Your mic is open. Give us your name where you're calling from and your comment.
Hi, Grand Rising, everyone. Oh, what a delicious, delicious comment. This is Mama Joy from Chicago. Can you hear me?
Hey.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning, Grand Rising.
Good morning. Good morning. I am so deeply grateful for this conversation this morning because, you know, I've always heard unworthy, and so many other words, and I'm trying to figure out what in the heck is with me that I always seem to have to, get an approval, and I thought I had risen above that. And then using the word validation became something new for me this morning, and I'm so grateful for that. And I think that Dr. Green made a comment, said, you know what, when you realize that this kind of victim mentality is not something that you get overnight, and it's not something that you get rid of in a few days, you have to be highly conscious of the fact that has been the birth culture of myself and with my mom. And sometimes the deepest hurts that we have gotten, at least with Joy, let me speak about Joy. I got to stop talking about other people because I don't know the experience of other people. All I know is what I have experienced in the battles that I've had to do. And I just came into my own acceptance just a few days ago that I'm a leader. And I have people following me. I have people doing it, but I never took ownership of that word. I never took ownership of even my anointing because there's a certain posture, there's a certain vibration that goes all through you. But if you don't recognize that vibration, if you don't recognize that anointing that it's called, but that power that you can feel, this vibration that streams through you, if you don't recognize it, no matter how much anybody else tells you, you're not going to take ownership and you won't be able to rise. That word validation meant a lot to me. And I remember going into the school, and one of my deepest hurts came from my mom. And don't get me wrong. My mother loved me. My mother loved me deeply. But my mother had an issue in loving herself, accepting herself, and I picked it up. One of the deepest experiences I had was going to school. My mom, my tuition was like, what, $10, $9 or $10 a month. I went to a Catholic school. And my mother came to pay my tuition, and the principal told me to come down. My mother was in the office, and if I wanted to see, I could come and see my mom. And I went down, and I was so excited because my mother, she worked in the hospital, and she was a nurse's assistant in the preemie ward, and she would come to us and tell us so many amazing stories. And I was so excited and proud of my mom, and I told the principal all about my mom and the work that she did. And you know what, my mom looked at me and said, "Shut up, I'm nothing."
Oh.
And I looked at her, I said, "What do you mean?" She says, "I'm nothing." And the principal, she grasped her breath. She says, she caught her breath. I said, "What are you saying?" She said, "I'm nothing. I'm nothing. I just had a job. I just got a job." Now, when my mother comes home, she's all excited. But here before this white nun, my mother declared that she was nothing. My gut wrenched. I was so hurt. I was so hurt. You know, and these are many kind of experiences that I experienced, and it's like how, you know, you pay love. You being love with the pain, you being love with a lack of love. And it
throws you into a quandary of freaking confusion because you don't know love without pain. I did not know love without pain. I didn't know love without being abandoned. I didn't know love without the hurt or without the injury, as Dr. Green has talked about. The only pure love I ever saw, I seen, was what Hollywood sent to me. And that had some music and drama. So here I am at this age, not attempting, but pulling off all these shells. And one of the things I believe that's helping me is when I can testify and speak about where we began, where all this crap has been piled up on me that causes me to even resent myself in so many ways, simply because I know I have a voice, but then something else tells me no, this no and yes in me. So I'm growing, and I appreciate you ladies, because we are somebody truly, and as long as we cannot take ownership of that, we pass accepting on our children, and we don't even realize it. In our best of love, we're denying them a right to be free and to be themselves.
Wow, absolutely. That is so powerful, absolutely. Mama Joy. Well, of course, you will hear Mama Joy the second Saturday of every month, so look for her upcoming, the powerful voice of Mama Joy. And, of course, you know,
It's this Saturday coming between 12 and 2 at the same number. And to what we're discussing is that these conversations that we have with ourselves, we put it in the community. And the community cannot grow any greater than our own voice and how we live and how we see ourselves and how we treat ourselves. And this is one of the situations that we have to address. We have to speak about it. Speak about it. It's like, how can you address the victim mentality? It's a vice. How can we have to speak on it, tell what it is, and speak, because we have to be healed. But we can't be healed if we don't address the issue. And the issue is the lack of love. In fact, I extended the verse. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. It's a new elevation.
Love
your neighbor as you learn how to love you.
There you go. Thank you, Mama Joy. Looking forward to a dynamic show this coming Saturday, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern.
And I have to keep in touch with you because I have a training that's getting ready to launch next month. And this training it addresses psychological strength for leaders, psychological strength as well as leadership abilities. And it helps you to really focus on those areas of, you know, discomfort within your upbringing, but also dealing with them. Because, again, they don't come up until the river rises. When the river rises, that's when you start feeling things that you never thought you thought was gone and never was there. But when those rivers start rising, which is of life, then you're like, whoa. Like you said, you have that thought in your mind of that word, oh, I'm nothing. And that right there was a traumatized moment for you. It's etched, it's ingrained in your subconscious. So if there's ever a situation that challenges that through a triggered response, immediately that thing rises. One thing we know, we love God, we understand deliverance. But one thing, the human body, the human mind, is etched in time, and it records every single thing. But we have to know how to respond when those river rises. So I want to definitely keep posted because I believe it would tremendously take you to a whole nother level.
Yes, fantastic.
Thank you. I really want to participate in that. And you know, when that river rises, we're supposed to rise with it. That's what we experience. We go to the next level. God takes us to another level, and we fear it. And we just don't know what to do with it. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate that so much.
What to do? All the leaders need to take the course, because so many of us we have a mission, but something in us has been crushed, and we need to heal it so that we can be our best selves. Thank you so much, Mama Joy. Looking forward to hearing your words of wisdom on coming this Saturday. We appreciate you. That'll be November 12th. Oh, we got a comment. We're going to take our last break, and we got a comment on Facebook. And I believe we've got another comment from Baba Kwame. I'll open his mic after the break, and we'll be right back. So stay with us, and if you are listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak so that we can open your mic and get your thoughts. We'll be right back, so stay with us.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
All right, we're at the top of our hour. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Soulful Solutions. My name is Dr. Debbie Green, my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, the executive producer of The Female Solution. And again, we are talking about how to emotionally detach from toxic relationships. And again, it doesn't have to be heterosexual. It doesn't have to be this. It could be family. And we can also have toxic relationships even on our job, y'all.
Yeah.
Okay? Please understand, because workplace violence is real, just like domestic violence, family violence, because violence has no interpreter of persons or place or time. It can just happen. Okay?
I think I think Baba Kwame has a question.
Okay.
706-202, your mic is open.
Yes, and what I'm concerned with is what you're offering is solution. And is the solution going to be here in Atlanta? I think you're in Atlanta. Or is it going to be a virtual to where World Wide Web would be able to help those that are seeking what you're offering as a solution and training? Because these should be implemented ways in which we talk about the issue, but here are the solutions to bring to the people to help them to help themselves.
Absolutely. Yes, this will be virtual, worldwide web, not just in Atlanta. Now, if there is a need that some people may want it in person, then it would have to be other arrangements for that. But mainly it is going to be virtual. That's the goal, and I'll be presenting it during the first week of December, which means presenting it, talking about it more, and the dates and everything at that particular time. And if you're interested, please drop us a note. I'm sure you can email me, soulfulsolutions77@gmail.com, soulfulsolutions77@gmail.com if you're interested. But I'll be talking about much more, you know, especially after Thanksgiving, and you will be really knowing exactly what's involved in it, because, again, leaders that are out there, that whether they're in the church setting, in the community, wherever you are leading, you need to know how to deal with people's issues from the platform of the worst to the worst to the best to the best. You know, again, psychiatrists, psychologists, nurse practitioners, all of these people, if you don't go into a healthcare setting, you know, if you have to go into someone's office, then that's the only way you're going to get help, you know. I mean, yeah, we want to do more, but the community leaders, people are really out here doing something, got their hands in grassroots, need to understand the mental and capabilities of people and be able to offer them solutions on those things, because everyone doesn't go into a mental health hospital or go into an office and they're still dealing with a whole lot of dysfunction.
Yeah, I think that's a critical thing to understand also, because people, a lot of times when they have deep mental, emotional issues and they go to their church pastor, well, this is not somebody who has really been trained to assist with mental health issues or even to be a counselor. I mean, they, you know, their training might be in the theological seminary and they can quote some Bible verses, but the depth of healing that people need who have been psychologically wounded, have been emotionally wounded, have been traumatized, they don't have the skills to help. And people get frustrated because they expect them to have it. They expect them to know how to fix my problem. You know, my husband beats me. My wife beats me. You know, my parents verbally abuse me. And you go to the spiritual leader, they don't have the knowledge on how to help you. And so you get frustrated because it seems like they don't care enough, and then some act of violence breaks out, and then everybody is like, oh, what a shame. But they still don't know what to say to you. They don't know how to help you. You're traumatized. You can't go to your religious leaders because they don't have the knowledge. That's why there has to be a training like Dr. Debbie is doing. And we do have to empower people to help themselves. Mama Joy said something that was really very critical, and it's so common to the generation that raised us, the self-depreciation, the feeling like nothingness, the knowing how to denigrate yourself in the presence of, you know, white people. If we're, you know, if we happen to be African-American, that's still that trauma that our parents went through, and the feeling of nothingness that made them in some ways often not be able to show affection, appreciation, or validation because they believe you. I don't want you to think too much of yourself because then you might, you know, you might attract abuse from white people. I mean, that thought is still in them because it was in their parents because it was in their parents. So that's a trauma that we have to undo, but we have to also understand where it came from so that we can forgive the parents who laid the foundation of us feeling unlovable and then not loving and appreciating ourselves. So there is an undoing that has to happen so that we can be the effective leaders that we were born to be. We have to erase that hurt. And one thing I'm excited about, Dr. Debbie and the rest of my wonderful team of very wise women are going to be a part of the Parenting with Peace classes that we'll be launching on our New Earth Homeschool Academy. And this is to teach parents how to raise a child in a totally different manner, where there's no sense of victimization or any of that trauma that we have carried forward. It's a totally different mindset and a freeing of the spirit and an empowerment of the soul of this child to be all that they came here to be. And so look out for that, because that helps us begin a new beginning in the kind of people that we are producing on planet Earth. And that's what has to happen in order to make the change.
Yeah. You know, a part of that training is this topic information really focused on soul correction, soul, S-O-U-L, correction. I truly believe as we, from the time we were born, even before we were born, our souls were implemented and impacted by our ancestors. That's one. And it's also, it is impacted by our parents. And it's impacted by life, you know, circumstances. So those impactments cause what is called fragmentation. Fragmentation is a sense of brokenness. Most people, you know, they don't know the effects of the fragmentation until, again, they experience a trigger. That trigger then lets them know that that thing is still alive and well inside of them. So soul healing, you know, it's not just energy transferring, but the acknowledgement consciously, I still have that issue. It still has not been finalized. Okay, how do I respond to my body, my mind, and my heart, you know, when these things happen, you know, and you know, understanding there's a rule, there's a regulation, there is a, if I could say, a strategy to actually, you know, counteract that emotion that's there, you know, and then deal with that emotion and continue to go on so that you can continue to do the things that you were created to do. So when we even, once we understand that, because, see, the training is not just for training for you or the leaders to give to the people, but first you got to eat from the table.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
You eat from the table. And when you eat, you digest what you have, and you deal with those things that you, because, see, one thing about this training, y'all, when you sit there, things are going to come up out of your past of life issues. You see what I'm saying? And you're like, whoa, I never thought about that. You know, because one thing about the mind will let you know in the deepest seat of yourself, what in the heart, once the heart and the mind starts to communicate effectively, whatever issues that's in there that's been impacted, it's going to say, hey, wow, you mean to tell me after 25 years I can finally deal with this? And it'll send it to the mind right there, right in that very moment. You see what I'm saying? Now, again, we want to deal with that. We don't want to suppress it, that it goes back down into the dominion of ourselves. No, we want to be able to say, okay, maybe this is something, and you know, be aware, have conscious aware, and say, okay, now let me see what this really is, because because it's been coming back and forth, back and forth. So I'm ready to deal with it. And then here's the strategy, how to deal with that. Mm. Here's the understanding, how to deal with that. And not just deal with it. I don't want you to just cope with it. I want you to conquer it.
Yeah.
That's the goal. I want you to conquer it so it doesn't be a situation that always comes up in you. Because you might have experienced something when you were a child or had a broken relationship that hurt you so bad to the point when you didn't think you could go on, but you did, you know. But at the same token, you're dealing with residue in the soul, okay? So, again, we will talk more about that. And Dr. Deb got you. If you allow yourself to be pliable and say, hey, you know, I just want to be a vessel to learn about a little more about me. Even though I might have been this professional doing this, and I might be doing that, but a leader is the most humblest person there is, and they are also servants.
Yes.
You know, to lead, you have to be humble, and you have to be a servant.
Jesus, serve, absolutely. I think we have 312-768. I have another comment. Go right ahead.
Okay. Is that me?
Yes. Press one again.
You know, I just want, boy. You know, this is so beautiful and so delicious. I was thinking, you know, with the comments about our spiritual, not spiritual leaders, but our religious leaders, and it's important to be able to distinguish between religious leaders and spiritual leaders, because when you dealing with spiritual leaders, there's more liberty there, and I'm saying liberty because so many religious leaders are bound with doctrines and creeds that box them in with laws, particularly like the hermeneutics. And no, they do not have that training because it will not allow them to lead outside of their scripture content. And so it's very important to understand it. They could be exceptionally well, but right now our community needs healing. And what I did, Dr. Green, I said, wow, after I accept my leadership, the leader in me, I went out and I said, well, okay, what? I began to see things differently. And then I looked, ask yourself this question, where were you made? You said, oh, God made me. Well, where is God? Oh, we say God is in heaven. So if God is in heaven and God made me, that means that God made me in heaven. Hello? So then so many of us here saying we're working to go to heaven without realizing that we came from heaven. We came from heaven to do a good work. Hello? We came from heaven to do a good work. What did we come here for? We came here as Jesus spoke, as it is in heaven, let it be so in earth. That is why we're here, because we have been called to bring heaven,
can I take
bring God,
to another level,
good,
baby.
Right here to this
place.
I'm going to take you to a whole another level.
That is exactly right.
From
heaven we came,
are.
And from heaven we will return. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mama Joy.
You keep in touch because you got to get this train.
Yes.
This ain't going to take you to a whole another level.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Debbie, I guess we're about to wrap up with some last comments before we go. I think Mama Joy said the thing that if we understood that on the deepest level of our being, then we would not need other people's validation. Who do we come from? What are we an expression of? We are an expression of the divine creation of the universe.
Correct.
So we can never be less than. We can never be nothing. We are all that is. And when we know that, then we can heal.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, the part of training is that how to reconnect with the divine mind before everything happened. You got, you know, real quick here, we have so many parts to ourselves as we enter this world, as we enter this life on earth. You know, you got social identities, you got role plays that you play, you know, and every person that you talk to, you use a part of yourself to do so. You're not going to talk to your mother like you would talk to your friend. You're not going to talk to your husband like you talk to your daughter. So what am I saying? Your changing roles. Your mind is constantly changing roles, and out of those role plays, what happens is if there is ever a deterrent, ever a distraction, every heart spoken word, anything that doesn't stimulate the God in you, it has to stimulate it. If it doesn't stimulate it puts some damper over it. Okay, so this is the things that happens in life when we find ourselves in a position like, how did I get here?
Yeah.
How did I get here in this place? You know, we ask ourselves that question because remember, you're so busy doing that you forgot the being. Mm-hmm. You had to, you know, you got to go back to human being. It's like, you know, you're not just the who someone thinks you are. That's one way of somebody gives you, you know, who your mother think you are, who your father, sister, brother. No, you got to go back to the person, the true identity of not who you are, but what was your purpose to come here in the first place.
Yes.
The who goes into the being and the doing. That's what that is. Who you are to someone else. That's a human being alternate. No, we want to go back to the being stage.
Yeah.
You move out of the human doing stage and go back to the human being stage. Before all of that happened, before every role you played, before everything happened, every bump on your knee when you was a little girl, what a little boy,
who are you inside this?
Who place? Are you?
Yeah.
Otherwise, we've always been impacted by the same things over and over again, looking at a different package.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's
and it's called cycling.
Yeah.
People cycle. They cycle in the mental incapability, cycle in the victim mentality, they cycle in the looking for someone to love them or feeling accepted. No, the kingdom of God is where? Where is it?
Within you.
It's within you. So if it's inside of me, and I walk with it, I breathe with it, I eat with it every day,
yeah,
then why am I not stimulated by it? You need to learn how to get back to your place, a peace reservoir. It's a reservoir of peace that flows out of you uncontrollably, whether you want to or not, that thing called resilience. No matter what you go through, you're going to keep on going. No matter how much somebody hurts you, you're going to keep on going. But let me tell you something, if you remove that victim mentality, your eyes will be open, your ear gates will be open, and you will see life from a whole nother perspective, and that is the true self.
Yes.
That's the true self.
True self. All
so
right.
So stick and stay with Dr. Green, and she goes, shoot. I had to find mine.
We all
I
have
found
to.
Mine.
We all have
to journeys, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We all
and
have
we always
to make that journey.
Moving. Okay. We're always moving higher and higher.
Yes.
You never get there because there is a place you're always striving to be.
That's right. Always striving
to be. Thank you so much, YouTube. This is the first time Dr. Dan's been on. I hope somebody gets some love out of this, some attention, some meat and potatoes. We will be here every Thursday. Thank you, Facebook, for watching. Continue to tell somebody it so that we can help somebody. Okay? God bless you, and y'all enjoy the rest of your week.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows. Listen to our radio shows. Order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world,
we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Jeong Kunyong. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jerez. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakor. Saudi Arabia, Shukran.
Cool.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.